Rich. Well, I am here with one of my favorites, Senator Lindsey Graham. We don't get to talk to you enough, but we have you right here face to face.
Well, you come up to Washington, and I'm honored to see you, and I'll see you back home in Greenwood.
Okay, I'm counting on that. Okay. All right, well, listen, you know, there's so many issues, and of course, we're up here talking about immigration, but the first question that's on everybody's mind is, where is Lindsey Graham on running for president?
I'll let you know probably toward the end of the May. I'm more likely than not to do it. I got to make sure I can get the financing in place, get people to help me raise the money, and also look at the issues. I've just gotten reelected at home. I feel good about South Carolina. National security is a top issue throughout the entire country. National security and terrorism are on the minds of a lot of people. I think I've got a lot to offer in terms of how to defend this nation. I'm the first in my family to ever go to college. I grew up in Central South Carolina. Neither one of my parents finished high school. We owned a restaurant, a liquor store, and a pool room. I grew up in the back of the liquor store. My mom and dad worked
very hard.
Do
you have any problems with that, being in the back of the liquor store?
Well,
now I need to ask you.
The back of the liquor store and the restaurant, one big room in the back. My mom and dad went to work every day, sick or not, simply because if you don't open up, you don't get paid. When I was 21, my mom died. She had Hodgkin's disease that wiped us out financially because we're underinsured. My sister is 9 years younger. 15 months later, my dad dies. So I'm 22, she's 14. We move in with an aunt and uncle. I'm trying to finish Carolina. Student loans were there for my sister. Social Security survivor benefits came to my sister from my parents' donations to Social Security. And the money really mattered to me back then. I'm 59, I'm not married, I don't have any kids, I'd do anything to save Social Security. 80 million baby boomers are gonna retire in the next 20, 25 years, and we're gonna wipe out Medicare and Social Security and make it hard to have an economy because so many of us retire. We're down to two workers.
Are we gonna retire? That's the question.
Well,
I don't think I'll ever retire.
A lot of people are gonna outlive their 401k plans and have to keep working, but that Social Security check keeps 50% of today's seniors out of poverty. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure it's sound and it's solvent for the rest of forever. Right now, by 2032, it's going to start running out of money. When 80 million people go into retirement and you got two workers for every retiree, it won't work. When I was born in 55, there were 16 workers for every Social Security recipient. Mm-hmm. Today, there's more people in retirement than ever and fewer workers. Upper income people like myself are going to have to give up some benefits, and younger people are going to have to work a little bit longer to stretch this system out, like Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. But one of the reasons I'm thinking about running for president is I want to keep radical Islam over there so they never come here again. I want to defeat radical Islam and keep weapons of mass destruction out of their hands because they would hurt us bad if they could. I want to rebuild the military that's on track to be the smallest since 1940 in terms of the Army. The smallest Navy in terms of the Navy since 1915. This is insane what we're doing to our defense community. I've been in the military 33 years. I retire in August. I've served overseas during the 80s in the Cold War. I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan many times as a senator and several times as a reservist. I think I understand what's going on in the world. I've never been more worried about an attack on our country than I do today. There are more radical Islamic groups with the capability to attack us than before 9/11. President Obama's foreign policy is failing. America has to lead from the front. And it's just not about killing terrorists. We've got to build up people in the region that we can live in peace with. And most of them don't want what ISIL's selling. I worry about the Iranians acquiring a nuclear weapon. This deal that Obama's trying to negotiate, he wants it way too badly. And the worst outcome in the Mideast is give the Ayatollahs nukes because the Arabs will want nuclear weapons to challenge the Shia, the Sunni, the Shia Persians. So the world is in a mess right now. The 80 million baby boomers, we're going to wipe out Medicare and Social Security. Young people are going to lose the American dream. And where do you get new workers from? That's why you need an immigration system. You know, when you're down to two workers for every retiree, you need new workers coming into the system. So if you don't want to start having kids after you're 60 years old, we better find an immigration system where we can bring people into the country legally on our terms.
Sure, and I want to get back to that. But, you know, isn't one of the problems is that our government, we're putting so many people on disability? I mean, yeah, we've got many ways that people don't have to work.
Yeah, the disability roles have grown. I think disability reform is essential. There's a lot of abuses where people are being enrolled on Social Security disability that probably shouldn't be. But at the end of the day, you can't fix this with an easy answer. Welfare reform has taken place. I'm sure there's some people out there receiving benefits that should be working. I'm sure there's some people on disability that shouldn't be. But here's the big problem we got. When 80 million baby boomers retire, if you don't have a way to bring in new workers, we're just not generating enough native-born labor to run the economy in the next 30 to 40 years.
So we need all this illegal immigration
You don't need any illegal immigration. You need legal immigration.
So what's the answer to that, though, since there's so much discussion about this, Lindsay? Well, what do you do about the people that have been here for 30 and 40 years?
Great question. First thing, you don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past. Giving amnesty and doing nothing else means that you're going to have 11 million more 20 years from now. You got to start with securing your border. If you don't do that, they'll just keep walking across the street. 40% of illegal immigrants came here by overstaying their visas. You need to control visas, and when your visa expires, you need to leave the country. 40% of illegal immigrants are visa overstays. You got to increase legal immigration. When you can't find a worker here after you try, like a meat packing plant or some
farmers in South Carolina,
hotel owners that can't find labor, you can bring labor in temporarily. You have to pay them over the counter, not under the counter. The worst thing about illegal immigration is that these guys and gals are getting paid under the table in cash. That hurts wages. That hurts the working man and woman. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, after you secure your border, increase legal immigration and have E-verified. I want to make it hard to hire an illegal in the future. I want to make it easy to find out if you are legal from an employer point of view. And I want to make the punishment so severe that they won't even think about hiring an illegal. That only comes when you get E-verified that we have in South Carolina nationally. When you put all that in place, as to the 11 million, crooks, criminals, felons are not welcomed. They're not allowed to stay here. To the rest, you can stay here on our terms, not yours. You have to learn the language as a condition of staying here. Pass English proficiency exams. You got to pay a fine. You got to pay taxes. You have a 10-year bar before you can apply for a green card. And when you do, you have to get in the back of the line in the country where you came from. So in Mexico, it could be 15 to 18 years. That, to me, is a way to allow people to stay here in a productive fashion. You send all the crooks back. But as to the rest, they can stay, and they'll have a pathway forward to citizenship, but it could take 15 to 20 years. But I think that's the best answer. The new system to replace the old system is what I'm after. In the future, a green card is given based on points. If you speak the language or you have a job skill we need in our economy, you'll get points toward a green card. A green card will be limited to immediate family, no more third cousins coming in. That means we'll have more green cards for workers. I want a merit-based immigration system in the future so that people who come to America come here to add value to our economy. We don't have that today.
We don't have that today. But what is the will in the House and the Senate to do something?
The president's executive order was just a complete constitutional overreach. Mm-hmm. But we passed three bills in the Senate. They all go to the House and die.
They would say the other way, that the bills come to the House, to the Senate from the House, and they die.
Well, on immigration, they would be wrong. Okay. We've passed bills they haven't. We've passed immigration reform bills that deal with the border, legal immigration, controlling who gets a job, and the 11 million. You can't do it without dealing with all of it. The Democrats are not going to give us the border security we want, legal immigration increases, if we don't tell them what we're going to do with the 11 million. I'm not going to give legal status to 11 million until I get the new system I want. That's just the way it is. Presidentially in 2016, I hope the Republican nominee will embrace immigration reform, firm and fair. We've gone from 44% of the Hispanic vote down to 27. I'm convinced the way we've handled this issue has made it difficult for Republicans with Hispanics, and they're there from a political point of view, lined up to be Republicans. They're hardworking, pro-life, very entrepreneurial. I hope our party in 2015 can show some progress towards solving the immigration issue.
Well, it is one of the biggest issues facing our country, but so
it's a national security issue. Some people are coming across that border that want to kill us, not put on a roof. They want to blow the roof off, not put it on. Illegal immigration doesn't benefit anyone. And if yelling about it would fix it, we would have it fixed. You're never going to get a solution until you get Democrats and Republicans working together. There will never be a Republican-only immigration reform bill. There will never be a Democratic-only immigration bill.
Do you think that's going to happen? I mean, most people from back home just look at it. You know, the Republicans ended up with the majorities, but they have done not, they've been timid. They haven't moved forward with things.
Yeah, I think it will have to happen for us to grow as a party. I think we got to get this issue solved for the good of the nation and for the good of the party. You know, I won overwhelmingly, and I'm associated with trying to solve it on three different occasions. I really do believe in strong border security, requiring people to learn the English language to stay here, paying fines. I believe in more legal immigration and putting people in jail who hire illegals after you fix the system. I don't mind being tough. I just want to be practical. If we don't get this issue in a better position, our economy suffers, our culture suffers, and our national security is compromised.
Absolutely. One more question. What about Cuba and what the president has said that he thinks we should, what, normalize relations?
It's not a terrorist threat anymore.
In
the last 6 months, I don't know what Cuba's done, but they're a terrorist country. They have fugitives from justice. A lady was accused of convicted of killing a cop in New Jersey, has been in Cuba for years. Some of the most wanted terrorists in the world go to Cuba. They're associated with North Korea and Iran, judge them by their friends. At the end of the day, the Castro brothers are ruthless dictators. Obama wants this as a foreign policy win, but they haven't changed their behavior. Any money you give to the Cuban government is going to go to the Castro brothers and their cronies. So this is an example of where Obama is looking at dictators and trying to basically change for the sake of change. The Iranian Ayatollahs are crazy. They're destabilizing the entire Mideast. They've taken the pro-American government in Yemen down. They're the largest state sponsor of terrorism. They're responsible for these IEDs coming from Iran with copper tips that killed at least 1,500 Americans. And here we are thinking about giving them billions of dollars in sanction relief. What would they do with the money? Build schools or hospitals? During the negotiation, no, they're going to build a bigger military. During the negotiations, the last week of the negotiations before the framework, the head of their military said, the destruction of Israel is non-negotiable. So Obama is looking at these people as if they're choir boys. They've done nothing wrong. I would tie their overall behavior to the negotiations. They're trying to build an ICBM that could hit America.
Right.
Before I would give them any new money, I would want them to change their old behavior. As to the Castro brothers, name one thing that's changed in Cuba in terms of freedom, religious freedom.
It hasn't,
but Obama is a disaster on the foreign policy front. His foreign policy is failing. We're more threatened today than any time I can remember. The next election ought to be about who is ready to be commander-in-chief. The next time you vote, make sure the person you're voting for understands the world, understands America, and is ready to be commander-in-chief. And if I run for president, I'm going to make the case that on day one, I am ready to be the commander-in-chief. I know exactly who our friends are and who our enemies are, and I would rebuild our military. Our friends would be more respected. Our friends in Israel would be more respected, and our enemies would finally have to fear something.
Thank you. Well, Senator Lindsey Graham, thank you so much for talking with us today.
I will see you at home. Thank you for coming up.
Absolutely.
Adios.